You are listening to RISE, Radio Internet Story Exchange. We now return you to Michael C. Rupert on 9/11, oil, and war.
This is another one of those things that I call a clue. Now, this was a map that was devised by Harvard University, one of the great criminal empires in the country, James Intelligence Review, actually the Harvard Endowment. You know, under the Clinton administration, the Harvard Endowment went from $3 billion to $19 billion in just 8 years. It's run like a business, all because of the great government contracts, the looting of Russia. And Pug Whitaker of Harvard University, a very big wig at Harvard University, founded a company called DynCorp, which processes the books for HUD and Department of Defense and handles all the defense switchboards and is flying helicopters in Colombia. And the same Pug Whitaker is chairman of the Enron Finance Committee, who approved all of Enron's financial reports. That's Harvard. Harvard, James University, U.S. Energy Information Administration, UNICAL, that's a clue, and Global Security. Now, we've added to this map. Mike did the graphics on this, but this is their map. They had all these troops. Okay, we got about 9,000 troops in Afghanistan. We've deployed in Kyrgyzstan, Uzbekistan. We've been training special troops in Turkmenistan, and I should get something up there. We have 100 to 200 acknowledged special forces in Georgia, where a pipeline is just going through, but I've got unconfirmed of another 1,000 or so special forces troops. 25,000 troops in Turkey. Of course, that's a NATO member. We have 7,000 troops in Jordan. Did you know that? It's confirmed. Yeah, it upsets me too. Three or four stores in the Middle East, and then I spoke with a very eloquent aid worker who was with a UN-sponsored aid program from Jordan. She's an American from Huntington Beach, and she called me up. So I saw her story. You're right. I've been to Jordan. I was just there. I saw the armored personnel carriers with medical paintings. I saw armored vehicles, and I saw special forces. Now, they're there. So we got troops in Jordan. We got troops in Israel. We got troops, lots of troops in Egypt. Lots of troops in Kuwait. Of course, we've got the air bases in Saudi Arabia. Do you know why George Bush didn't wipe out Saddam Hussein the first time? So he could leave the U.S. military bases in Saudi Arabia. We Oman, British troops, and Qatar is sinking under the weight of deployed troops now. We got 105,000 troops that are already so far forward deployed, they have to be used in an invasion. Scott Ritter, another name that deserves our applause. Gotta honor courage wherever you find it, and boy, he's got some, I'll tell you that. He said it very clearly, the 3rd Marine Expeditionary Force, they're so far forward deployed, you've disrupted training schedules months in advance. This invasion's a done deal. It's been planned. Of course, we have the report from the Project for a New American Century, which I call PANIC, that shows that the Iraqi invasion was planned before Bush ever took office. But I was saying in my lectures 6-8 months ago, we'll be in Iraq by the fall. And I don't think Bush can afford to wait till next year. We have special forces researchers working for me. Stan Goff, another hero of 9/11. We published a story by Stan. We've got another special forces guy who researches for me. We've identified the units that are going to go. We've identified the order of battle on how it's going to go. We already have 105,000 troops there. We've got 37 airlift wings mobilized out of the reserves and National Guard. I mean, we've covered, and this was all in the last issue from The Wilderness. If you didn't, don't subscribe, you should have. It's on the website, you can subscribe and see it there. But we know the order of battle. We know how it's going to happen. Bush needs this invasion before the election. And if we succeed, we, the government, the UN, an outraged world succeeds in putting this bear that now has its toe stuck by kicking him in the shin, what's the bear going to do? It's going to lash out like a mother. Okay? They need this invasion. I'm going to tell you why for several reasons. First of all, look at the troop deployments. Now, here's what's going on post 9/11. Here's the proposed new oil pipeline. Gee, that's exactly what they wanted. There's the new gas pipeline. And Pakistan, Musharraf just said, hey, listen, India and I may nuke each other, but I have no problem and I won't mess with a pipeline that gives India natural gas. Tells you who's really running the world. Because both countries have get their military advisors from the U.S. Okay? All right. Look at the deployment. What have we surrounded?
Axis of evil.
No. Well, don't bring in North Korea. I would say certainly. That's it. You will see how Korea fits into this in a second. Iraq is, I would say, in some deep doo-doo. So is Syria. Syria is like irrelevant now, and I bet you they're assisting with, that they will ultimately assist with this. Iraq is totally surrounded. But now let's put this in context for you. Saudi Arabia, 25% of all the oil on the planet. And Saudi Arabia is on the brink of total collapse. King Fahd, who was ailing, he had a stroke in 1995. Just left Switzerland about like 3 weeks ago or a month ago. Went to Malacca, Spain, where he's reported to be on life support, took his entourage. Everybody's waiting for him to die. The de facto ruler has been Crown Prince Abdullah, who's been pretty close to Osama bin Laden for a long time. But then so is Prince Sultan, his rival. Abdullah's directly connected to 9/11. Now, everybody in Saudi Arabia, and I've been privileged to speak at many mosques throughout the U.S., and I have been privileged to learn that Islam is an incredibly gentle, tolerant, loving, and kind religion. And I'm amazed at what I have learned, and how in contrast it is to Jerry Falwell, who said yesterday, I read Muhammad, and Muhammad was a terrorist. Give me a break. Anyway, everybody in Saudi Arabia hates the monarchy. It's corrupt. But the monarchy needs $25 a barrel oil to keep paying the bribes. They know that oil is finite, and they need $25 a barrel oil to keep stability in their own country. The problem is that about 60% of the country, 50%, opposes the presence of U.S. military, is opposed to the invasion of Iraq, is still upset that we have military bases in the country. And when King Fahd dies, also, Prince Sultan and Prince Abdullah are going to go at each other's throat. It's very well documented. On top of that, everybody who hates the monarchy in that kind of a situation or likes Al-Qaeda is liable to turn it into chaos. And there may be, very likely be a plan to balkanize Saudi Arabia. All the oil in Saudi Arabia is right here. Mecca and Medina are right here and here. Nothing there but desert, so they think. We've just discovered that there may be the largest unmined gold deposits on the planet under Mecca and Medina, which would mean that Allah gets the last laugh. I didn't mean any offense. But, to partition the country because it's about to go totally unstable. Certainly, if the United States engages in a brutal, illegal invasion of a nation that has not attacked us, in total violation of the UN Charter, there's a great legal argument that says the UN can't sanction something that the Charter prohibits anyway, and it doesn't permit this kind of a, quote, preemptive attack. But if we do this, the world will know that America no longer exists as we have sold it to the world. What we, the United States, will stand exposed as is an empire engaged in nothing but naked imperial aggression. The whole vision of the United States will change throughout the world. Now, they can't fight us physically, but they can fight us economically. The United States knows this, and the maniacs in Washington, D.C. are basically saying, we're prepared for this, and I've got some great sources that are confirming this. They're chafing at the bit to go for this. Bush needs this invasion, number one, for the economy. Why? And we said this 2 months ago, and gee, James Woolsey just came out about a month after we said it, the former CIA director, took our line on Fox, and here's why. First, Peter Dale Scott and I are in complete agreement that if you agree that we're poised to invade Iraq, by the way, we already have 7,000 troops in northern Iraq occupying an Iraqi airbase. Did you know that? 6,000 Turkish troops, 1,000 special forces occupying an airbase in Kurdish Iraq, Mosul. We also have some troops, we believe, in southern Iraq under the no-fly zone. We confirmed that this will be a quick invasion that will, massive bombing, killing of civilians, yes, then paradrops and the securing of airfields around Basra and Baghdad, which will be turned into what's called airheads, and they'll fly in C-17s and C-141s and large aircraft, and they'll radiate armored and light cavalry, armored cavalry, out from the airheads as the armor moves in. It should be a very quick military operation. I agree with that. Saddam's military is nothing. They know that. We're scared of this tyrant who's going to attack us and his military is a pushover. But knowing at the same time the Muslim world's going to get upset, Saudi Arabia may fall, King Fahd may die, that's 25% of all the oil on the planet. Now, if you were going to position your troops to invade Saudi Arabia, where would you position them? And did you just notice in the last week we put troops into Yemen, which is right down here, and Djibouti, which is right here? Now we've got Saudi Arabia surrounded. 25% of all the oil on the planet, 11% of all the oil on the planet, 36%. The only two countries in the world that can immediately step up production, which would drive down the price of oil. Drive down the price of oil, and what happens? Well, first of all, you break the back of OPEC. Saudi Arabia, all the OPEC states in the Middle East need $25 a barrel oils to keep their regime stable. Saudi Arabia, if the price goes to $11 a barrel, is going to collapse because their oil revenues will be cut in half. Oil is at $31, $32 a barrel, be cut by two-thirds. Russia will be hurt by a drop in oil prices. But this economy, which is going down the toilet faster than you can say flush, faced with $31 a barrel oil going into what may be a very cold winter where power supplies and heating oil are going to be in incredible demand going into a recession with high oil prices. Remember, oil is the electricity, that's the natural gas. $11 a barrel oil can be a shot in the arm for this economy. And I heard James Woolsey say it about 3 days ago, and I heard some wacky former secretary, assistant secretary of the Treasury saying, yeah, the invasion of Iraq would be good for the economy. And the question was posed to Woolsey saying, what if Saddam burns his oil fields? Hey, Woolsey said, he tried that in 91. We had him online quickly. We're prepared for that. How clear does it have to get? We also see now that we are now living under this as of October the 1st. NORTHCOM has come into existence, the Northern Command, which places the armed forces of Mexico, the United States, and Canada under a single unified military command of a four-star general, American general. American troops will be deployed into Canada. I brought back a headline from Canada this year, sometime before the year is out. I would be amazed, but it's possible to see Mexican troops deployed in Los Angeles under the right circumstances. There is a monstrous economic crash that is on the horizon right about the time of this invasion. Bush needs the war before the crash hits home the end of this month. The third quarter numbers are coming very soon. The third quarter numbers are ugly. The Dow will probably be in the 5,000s before the end of the year, barring a miracle or an occupation of Iraq and $11 a barrel oil. But if we invade Iraq, what happens? Saudi Arabia may go, and these idiots who think that they are so powerful they can control the world are going to face a world that turns on them both economically and OPEC, which might stop pricing its oil in dollars and price its oil in the euro. Russia, which might side with China to price its oil in the Chinese yuan. Saudi Arabia might pull all of its $700 billion of investment, but a lot of it will run here. But the rest of the world can economically do us. China owns us with our trade deficit. We can be eaten economically if the world turns on us. Then we run to the scenario where perhaps, you know, the Bush administration had a plan within days after the 9/11 attacks for the tactical use of nuclear weapons against seven potential enemies. I have better than a 50-50 bet, chance, opinion, that a nuclear weapon will be used in battle within the next 6 months to a year. If we don't throw one, the Israelis will. And the Israelis have behaved shamelessly like an 800-pound gorilla. And I say that in the full and true belief and knowledge that I am not afraid to say that Israel is not Judaism. Period. We've had a film showing that John Kennedy was shot from the front. Victor Novasky of The Nation says he doesn't believe it. Less than that, we've known that Martin Luther King and Bobby Kennedy were killed by the government. We had Vietnam, we had Iran-Contra, we had savings and loan, we had Waco. That was a massacre, Waco. Did you know that?
Wesley Clark at Waco.
Wesley Clark was at Waco. We had all of these scandals, and what have we done? Nothing. Because we always said, I'll just put a Band-Aid on it, I'll take the pill, because I don't want to put the car in the shop and be without my car. I got to have my convenient life and do what I want to do, and this is the end result. This is the end result. Now it's a matter of life and death for the whole planet. That's the bottom line. I don't need to give you a lecture. I've been doing that for a year. This is my 27th lecture. I'm tired, but we've made some great headway. You know what the problem is now. All of our butts are on the line. Now we've got to get out of here, and we've got to do something now. Thank you.
You have been listening to Michael C. Rupert, publisher and editor of From the Wilderness Newsletter, speaking on the subjects of 9/11, oil, and war. You have heard excerpts of his lecture, The Truth and Lies of 9/11, recorded on October 4, 2002, at Lowell High School Auditorium in San Francisco, California. The website of From the Wilderness is www.fromthewildernessoneword.com or www.copvcia.com. This has been RISE, Radio Internet Story Exchange, a weekly public affairs program helping you to ask questions, find answers, and distinguish the truth from the lie. RISE presented Rupert's comments on 9/11, oil, and war as the first part of a four-part series on energy titled The End of the Age of Oil. Next week's Radio Internet Story Exchange will feature an interview with world-renowned petrogeologist Dr. Colin J. Campbell. The website for RISE is www.rise4news.net. That's RISE, the number 4, news.net. Radio Internet Story Exchange is produced by myself, Kelly O'Ramaris, in part at the studios of radio station KPFA 94.1 FM in Berkeley, California. RISE programs are available on demand at the RISE website, at radioforall.net, and at indymedia.org. The programs are also webcast on the news stream of Partytown Streaming Network, www.partytown.com/radio. That's www.partytown.com/radio. Radio Internet Story Exchange receives no corporate or foundation funding and depends on you for support. For more information on donating to RISE, receiving or publicizing the program, or giving feedback on programs, please email Kellia, K-E-L-L-I-A, at rise4news.net. That's Kellia, lowercase K-E-L-L-I-A, at rise, the number 4, news.net. Thanks for listening.